Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I have to ask off the top, how have you been able to finally catch your breath after the excitement over the past couple of days?
It's definitely taken a few days, but it took me the majority of the weekend to get through all the thank you messages and voicemails and texts and messages on social media, and just to get through all of it, that I feel now in the last 24 hours, 2 days, I've had time to process what actually happened.
Before we hone in on what's really a watershed moment for you, let's go back to those early days in Weyburn, Saskatchewan. When did you first put on a pair of skates? When did you fall in love with hockey?
Yeah, so I'm actually from Drake, Saskatchewan originally, which is a village and where I grew up. And I started skating when I was 4 or 5 years old, went through can skate and started playing hockey when I was really, really young as well. On boys teams all growing up until I was a teenager, and then I switched over to the female side of hockey and then moved to Weyburn when I was 15 to play. So that's when I kind of really went and wanted to focus on playing, is when I moved away from home at 15.
And then college hockey was on your radar as well, right?
Yeah, and then I went down to the States and played Division III at the College of St. Scholastica in Duluth, Minnesota.
Okay, so there is a connection here between you and Calgary, and I'll let everybody know you were drafted by the Calgary Inferno. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that part of your journey and why you were unable to play?
Yeah, so I was drafted in the summer of 2015, which is the year I graduated college. And I had been battling for the whole previous season a knee injury, actually, from getting kicked by a cow the previous year on our home farm. And I hadn't really given it the time and the space to recover, and it was progressively getting worse. And so I kind of had to make a decision whether I was going to just keep training and probably never give it the time and the space to get better, or whether I was going to take a little bit of a step back and do some rehab with it. And a conversation with my older sister actually was what helped me make the decision. She said, you know, Alex, you love being active, and if this is a long-term thing that's going to bother you and it prevents you from doing things when you're 40 years old, you're going to regret that you didn't take the time to recover it. So that was kind of one of the conversations that helped me decide to take some time and space. And I actually, in the process of taking time and space, I found a job that I really liked and got into officiating, and I didn't feel as pulled to go back to playing.
Was there somebody you looked up to as an official? Because I think back, at least I haven't seen any women in the role. So who was it for you? Because obviously you had hockey players you looked up to. We've been really lucky because we've had a lot of women to look up to over the years. But in terms of officiating, was there anyone that you looked up to?
There's been lots of different women, women especially, because they're more relatable for me.
Yeah.
When I first started, there was a few females in Saskatchewan that were working male hockey at the Sask junior level. And it was them right off the bat that kind of inspired me to make it a competition for myself. And then as I got a little bit better and got better assignments, there were different females throughout Canada and then internationally that I met along my journey that really inspired me, with either they were previous Olympians or had worked and traveled reffing. But it was just really incredible to see that they created opportunities for themselves through this new world of officiating.
Officiating in terms of training. So you'd been training as a hockey player for so many years, essentially all of your life. How do you take it and then begin to train as an official, or is anything different? Obviously your skating has to be fantastic, but is there anything specific that you need to work on?
Yeah, it's taken a while to navigate that. And I've actually tried working with multiple different trainers, because I had a difficult time figuring out where that perfect spot to train as a ref was versus a player. And trainers struggle with it too, because not very many people come in and say, I want you to train me as a hockey referee.
Yeah.
So they default to training you as a hockey player. And it's different in the sense that we're on the ice for the whole game. There is no shift. So you have to learn how to go hard at certain times and recover actively at other times. And so I don't think there's a perfect way. Everybody trains how it works for them. And for me, it's a lot of cycling, a lot of cardio, and then I'm not a super strong person, so I have to incorporate a lot of strength into my routine.
How long did it take for you to figure out not necessarily how to pace yourself, but how to make it through a 60-minute game or a 60-plus-minute game if it comes to an overtime scenario?
I would say that that's my strong suit. I'm a cardio junkie, and so making it through the game is easy for me. It's how do I get faster when I need to be faster? Yeah, but making it through the game is my easy part.
Oh, good. You're lucky. Something to brag about.
Yeah, not many officials like cardio, so I'm blessed on that side.
Yeah, so you're a step ahead of everybody. That's amazing. Now I have to ask, so I looked at your resume, 300 games officiated in Saskatchewan, and then you've got a slew of international experience, including the recent Women's Worlds that took place here in Calgary. I will mention this anytime that I can because I thought it was such a good tournament just to have it finally happen after everything that happened in Nova Scotia, right? And the fact that we could get this tournament and that Calgary held it. What was it like through your eyes, through an official's eyes? Because obviously, people saw what they saw on TV. I saw maybe what I saw in the press box, but what did you see out on the ice?
It was such a relief to have it happen. Like you said, everybody was so happy to be there. And it was from my perspective, and I think the other officials' perspective, it was just such a good experience because we were finally surrounded by people in a positive environment where we were all out there doing what we loved. The players, the refs, the coaches, the volunteers, we were all there with one goal, and it was to make the tournament happen, and we were just so happy to finally have it at that point.
So just fast forwarding a little bit, well, kind of reversing a little bit as we talk about last weekend's game. Now, it's not like you hadn't worked a men's game before, but I have to ask this, like as woman to woman, how difficult is it to call a men's game and what sort of obstacles have you faced? Anything in terms of disrespect, misogyny, sexism? What kind of things have come along your way on this route?
I mean, in terms of the WHL, everything has been fantastic so far. There's been treating me differently as a female only to make sure I'm comfortable because I'm the first. And it's been a great experience that way. Ultimately, I've had pretty good experiences in the past. There's been run-ins and situations, and hockey's a very passionate game where players get heated, and I've gotten comments to go back to female officiating and to that I don't belong out there and things like that in past years. But overall, the players and the community is quite accepting of me as a female official. But like any male official, I have to earn respect on the ice. And that comes with time and with proving yourself.
Has there ever been a situation like a scrum or something that was super physical that may have been a little bit more intimidating than situations that you've had in the past at all?
I don't tend to shy away from getting in there. I'm not as strong as some of the men, and so it is sometimes more difficult, depending on the situation, to get them broken up. I'm 5'11", and so I'm tall, which helps me, and my presence is there. But sometimes in a fight, you just have to wait until they're ready to be done fighting. And that's kind of how we're coached sometimes too, is until there's an uneven advantage, you just wait until they're ready to be done fighting, and then you get in and break it up. But I don't shy away from getting right in there and getting between the players. Sometimes I'm successful in breaking them up, and other times I'm not. But
So you just mentioned coaching. How often does that happen for you?
we have supervisors or mentors or official coaches at a lot of our games. It depends on the level you're working. Some leagues have the higher leagues, as you get into more of the we call it in Saskatchewan our officiating development program. And as you get into those leagues, you see more coaching because it's a more elite competitive level. And but like some of those levels, it's 50% of your games. Some of the higher levels, it's 100% of your games. But I've had lots of coaching throughout the last 6 years as I've kind of come back into this officiating journey.
Okay, so your journey, watershed moment, you make history, the first female lines person in the Dub and the Canadian Hockey League, and you take to the preseason ice, Pats, Warriors. Just take us through the day. What was it like for you? Did you have some butterflies? Did somebody give you any words of encouragement? Just what was the weekend like through your eyes?
Yeah, so I mean I've known about it for a couple of weeks, this my specific game assignment. So I've had time to prepare mentally and I knew, but it still other people still didn't really know. And so I was going into Friday quite calm, ready. I'd studied the rule book. I felt comfortable and ready for the game. And Friday morning the press release goes out and it kind of takes off like wildfire. So I actually had to just kind of set my phone down and put it aside and not pay a lot of attention because I would say that was getting me more anxious than anything.
Yeah.
And at that point I was just ready to get on the ice because once you get on the ice, the game is a game. There's no, your nerves kind of settle themselves out and the puck feels the same and you're able to focus on the task at hand. It's the waiting until the 7 p.m. game time that was the hardest part come Friday.
I have to ask, what was it like just standing there for the anthem? Was it a whoa kind of moment for you, or just like, okay, this is what I worked for, this is what I belong here?
Yeah, I would say the latter. It's more like, I'm here, this is happening, I'm ready for it.
Fantastic. Well, I have to ask, I mean, where do you go from here? This is a great stepping stone because you've had a lot of these stepping stones, obviously, throughout your career. So would you like to work more in the Dub? What are your upcoming assignments, if you can share them with us?
Yeah, so I'm officially hired by the WHL and I have some regular season games coming on the schedule for the month of October. So I'm looking forward to those and preparing for them. And then another goal that kind of goes side by side with the WHL is I'm working right now. It's part of my Women's World Championship. My goal is to make it to the Olympics this winter. And so we won't find out about that until the end of November, but for me right now, it's just about servicing the WHL opportunity the best that I can. And I mean, if I go out and work my hardest in every single game, then the opportunities will come. It's just a matter of if I deserve them or not.
And with that, before we let you go, I have to ask if there's a young girl watching, and maybe she decides that playing hockey isn't what she wants to do, but there's a door open. You've opened a door for officiating. What is your advice to that little girl that might be listening or watching?
Just that there's so many opportunities out there if you're willing to work for them. And as a person in general, not just a female, you have to work for the opportunities that you want. And if you decide that it's worth it to work for them, you can achieve them. But there will be sacrifices along the way, and sometimes they're worth it and sometimes they're not, but just not to shy away from an opportunity because you don't think it's possible.